Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Amen. Well, we're here to honor our sister. She's our sister. She's a mother. She's a sister to some siblings. And God knows that we're going to miss her. But she left something. She left a legacy down here. And I think she left some footprints for us to follow, to follow after. And we're going to rejoice in her presence. But before I get started, I need to talk about Sister Eliza York and the connection she had with God. And she had a connection with this ministry. And she had a connection with Apostle Thompson. And I want to talk about connection just for a few moments. Connection is one of God's most powerful gifts upon his earth, because it connects you to someone and something greater than you. And when you're connected to something or someone greater than you, you always have that substance that comes from that person to you or from God to you. And it helps complete you. Well, Liza was a complete person. I mean, Liza knew who she was in Christ. In this ministry for over 30 years, she sat under some of the most powerful teaching I ever heard in my life. I mean, some of the things she learned, she knew just how to do warfare. She knew how to war for herself. And if I hadn't known that she was in the battle, you never knew she was in the battle. I tell you, the way she carried herself. She carried herself as a, how would I say that? As one of God's chosen. You may be seated, I'm sorry. But she carried herself with dignity. She carried herself with grace. And she loved her apostle. And let me say some things about it. I got some stuff written down here. Eliza was part of the apostolic prayer team. It was a blessing to Apostle Thompson. She would go into the dugout with our other prayer leaders, and they would get answers that no other way they could have gotten but through prayer. Apostle taught us her how to make the connection to heaven in a heaven to earth. A heaven to earth connection. What do you mean heaven to earth? She was able to go to the courts of heaven and pray the answer back down to earth. What God has already had planned for us upon this earth. See, you know, God already knew what he wanted to do for you. But God said he needed an intercessor. Someone to stand between the gap, stand between heaven and earth to help connect earth to heaven. And that's what she learned under this ministry through Apostle. And I remember her being an altar worker for many years. And as an altar worker, she saw many people get born again. She saw many people and assisted in many people getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. Apostle taught her how to be an overcomer and deal with challenges in this life. I don't know if you know it, but in this life we shall have challenges. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have already overcome every challenge you have ever come across. I think that's good news. In this world you shall have tests and trials and temptation. But God never left us alone. Never have, never will. She knew who she was in Christ, and she was a powerful witness for the kingdom of God. I just have to give honor to where honor is due. An apostle, what he did Sunday, he said, I'm dedicating his entire service to Liza. He said, that's my girl. He said, and not only that, but she's a soldier. And I'm dedicating this service. And we had one of the most powerful moves of the Holy Ghost that I've ever experienced in my life. I'll never forget that service. and it was in her honor. My goodness. My goodness. When a woman of God connects with a man of God, supernatural things happen. And Liza, we honor you today. We know you're not present here. We know you're present in another location. But we honor you. And we thank God for the years that you've supplied us with your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want you to open your Bible with me. I'm not going to be very long. But I want to share some divine truth out of the Word of God concerning life and concerning death. So turn your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. We're going to look at some things concerning the Scripture and what Apostle Paul says concerning life and death. I was meditating along this line, and I heard the Spirit of God say these words to me. He says, Liza entered into the was not zone. I didn't quite understand that, was not zone. But I knew Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God, and he was not. Then the Bible says, for God took him. God took him. So I began to meditate on that, and I came to a conclusion that God made us eternal spirits. When I say he made us eternal spirit, Christians never die. Christians never die. I'm talking about the real you. The spirit that's on the inside of a person never dies. It's alive for eternity. But what happened is, what God does is when that Christian come to a point when they're ready to go home, God just welcome into the kingdom. And she was not. She was here one moment, and next moment she was not. God permitted Liza to come home. Then I got to thinking about something else. I said, Lord, you know, Psalm 91:16, I read it all the time. I read it almost every day. That 16th verse said, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. And I say, Lord, what about that? He said, well, what the other part said? With long life will I satisfy thee. He said, she was satisfied. Liza was satisfied. She was satisfied, and she was ready to go home. It's a difference. It's a difference when a Christian gets in God's presence. And sometimes God can show you so much, you don't want to come back. You'll get into a zone where. You'll get into a zone with God where you don't have anything to do with this earth no more. Because your greatest joy has been set before you. To be in the presence of God. We all live to be with Jesus. But that's our eternal glory. Being with the Father. Now, something happened in the 14th chapter of John. Reverend Esther read it this morning. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus was about to go away. The boy began to get a little worried. And they were wondering where he's going. But he began to make plain English talk to them. He said, in my Father's house. I said, that sounds like another location. That sounds like somewhere else we can go. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I got to thinking about that. God has already prepared a place for us. We're not just living and existing to no end. No. When we go home and be with the Lord, life just beginning. You're entering from time. See, we're in this time life. We keep up with age and birthdays, but you enter into a time of eternity where time stops. Can you imagine when time stopped? You imagine getting to a place where there's no more tomorrow, but every day is tomorrow. I don't think we're a phantom what God had really prepared for us. You know, God gave us a little foretaste of what to come, but I don't think we ever experienced what God really had for us. sometimes we get our ties too tied down on planet Earth and don't realize that one day we got to leave this Earth. And the only way you're going to be where Liza is, if you do what Liza did. She made connections with God that she wouldn't let anybody tamper with. Now, watch this now. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 yet, if you got your Bible. Look what it says. For we know. Now, I got stuck where we know. Some things, you got to be informed. Some things, you can't guess about. Some things, you got to know. And I heard my father taught me, and he taught us. He said, there's another place you can go from believing. Believing is one thing. But knowing is another level of belief, another level of faith. Something you can guess about, and other things you can't guess about, you got to know. I asked a young man one time, I said, are you born again? He said, I hope so. I said, you see, when everything's going good, you don't think about being born again. Some Christian or something, some sinners, really, don't think about being saved until they get to a place where they're on a deathbed or something, and then they're at the bottom of the you know, they just drop to the bottom. When the whole bottom fell out, they won't know God. But I think you'll do while the sun's shining. I think you'll get connected with God. Why there ain't no clouds hanging over you? Ain't no darkness all around you. Jesus opened up his arms to whosoever will. He said, let him come. Free gift. It's a free gift. Amen. Now, I got stuck with the part that we know. He said, now we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, another house, he's saying, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Now, another translation call this building a tent. And the reason why they call it a tent, because a tent you can take down and move. You see? When you get ready to move, all you do is take the tent down and move on to the other location. Now, let me read this out of the Amplified Bible. If you're familiar with the Amplified Bible, that first verse says, for we know that if this earthly tent, they call it, our physical body, which is our house, is torn down through death, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. He said, this body of ours, really what he's saying is, one day you're going to have to die. One day, it's going to have to be torn down. One day, it's going to have to be removed. But he said, well, we got another house that can't be torn down, that can't be moved. This house is made from God. Another house, another body. You see? Liza not in that same body anymore. Matter of fact, Liza not here with us right now. She's not in this coffin. Liza is in the presence of God. Yeah. I wish the church understand that. That the Bible says absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. That means right in the company of God. She got escorted Saturday by angels. And she knows she had angels. And then when the angels came down, because she beckoned for them, how you know she excuse me for a while. How you know she beckoned for him? Because when she made her mind up, she said, Lord, I'm ready. Yeah. That was a signal. That was a signal. People don't understand that. You need to understand it in God's point of view. You need to understand it from God's mindset. You see, debt is nothing but an exit. See, like the exit signs we got by these doors? Debt takes us out of this life into another life. We got to pass through them. You got to pass through them if you're going to be with the Father. It's not bad as you think. You know, sometimes. And then I'm going to say this. And I'm going to talk back to a connection with God, a connection with apostle. See, connection make everything easier. It make the suffering that's supposed to be suffering easy. Sometimes because of your connection, you don't go through what everybody else went through. You don't feel what everybody feels. That's why she walk around here, and you never knew anything was wrong with her. Because of her connection. It kept her. It held her. It constrained her. It became a witness for her. I'm telling you. This connection is so powerful. So we got this other building here. And look what the fifth verse says. I'm skipping to the fifth verse. Because he got something in the fifth verse I need you to see, because I'm not going to be long. The fifth verse says, now he who has made us, how many know God made us? God used precision in making us. He made us a certain way. When I say he made us a certain way, he put a spirit in us and a soul, and he wrapped it up with a body. Now, he made us in a certain way because he knew he had to put something in us that lasts forever. And that's putting himself in us. God put himself in us. He put our spirit, and in our spirit, when we got born again, he put his spirit. So God's spirit live on the inside of me. If you're born again, God's spirit live on the inside of you. That's the way he made us. He made us like that. Now look what else it says here. And he prepared us for this very purpose. Who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, and a down payment on the fulfillment of his promise. What God did, and I like this part here. I like what God did. How many Christians we got in here? How many born again, blood-washed Christians we got in here, been blood bought and saved? Well, what happened is when God put his Holy Spirit in you, he called it a down payment. In other words, it was a down payment. It was a mark God put on us. What kind of mark? A mark that this is for you to know that you already purchased. But I ain't going to get my full possession of my purchase until you come to glory. So the Holy Spirit becomes a down payment, a mark. Anybody ever went, and what you call that when you put a down payment on something and you know you're going to go back and get it. Some people put it, don't never go back and get it. Layaway. That's what it is. Somebody say, layaway. When the Holy Spirit, God put his spirit in us, his own spirit. God put himself in us. And when he put himself in us, it was a down payment, a guarantee, a mark that this is mine. And I'm going to get the rest of my possession when we make the transfer. God got the rest of his possession. When Liza went home, it was paid in full. The Holy Ghost helped her down here. And every time she thought she couldn't make it, the Holy Ghost said, "You gonna make it? Because I'm in you." The Bible said he's our helper. And so the Holy Spirit is in all of us as Christian as a down payment. Are you hearing me? As a down payment until God receives the fullness of his promise. And what the fullness of the promise? John 14:6, that where I am, you may be also. I like that word. You may be. Maybe means you may be not. You might not. I like every time I read the scripture, when it say might, maybe, that means it's conditional. You're not just going to go to heaven anyway. No. There's some conditions that have to be met, for you to go on to glory. I know that's right. Some condition to be made. Now watch this now. Now look at that 8th verse. I'm almost through. Listen at this 8th verse. We are of good courage. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And have confident hope. What do you mean confident hope? On earth. Or away from home. And with him. Let me back read again. So you can understand it. We are of good courage and of confident hope, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now what? He said, he rather be absent from the body. What you mean? It's better to be absent from the body when you look from God's point of view. He'd rather be absent from the body. What does that mean? I mean leaving his body. You see, people don't like to talk like that. But when you mature enough in the things of God, you understand this thing. I didn't quite understand Apostle Paul in Philippians. He's talking about, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, what you mean to die is gain? How can dying be gain? When you know the truth, dying is gain. Yeah, but you're leaving your family ahead of time. You're leaving your husband, or leaving your wife, you're leaving your sister, you're leaving your children. Yeah, but you know God know how to fix that. God know how to mend, Leslie, a broken heart. God know how to be a mother. God know how to be a father. God know how to be a sister. God know how to be a brother. Guess what now? Yes. My mother went on to be with the Lord. And the way my back window, through my kitchen window, I could see the cemetery. And my mom got a high headstone that I could look through my window every morning and see her headstone. I said, this is not good, Lord. I put up a fence, finally. And then on those cold mornings, I'm sure how God helped you. He helped me. On those cold mornings, my mind would revert back to the natural. What you mean, revert back to the natural? I'm saying, oh, she in that cold, wet grave. The Lord said, no, she not. That helped me. The Lord said, absent is present. The Lord said, she with me. See, that's where connection. When you got connection, God can talk to you. But you ain't got that connection, you're going to function in the natural. And thank your mom and your brother and your sister, and they're in a cold grave. No, they're not. If they're born again, no, they're not. Absent from the body. It present with the Lord. It helped me to grieve quality. That's what you call quality grieving. It's all right to cry. But I know where she is. Yes. And it's different when you know where someone is. Yes. You know that they're all right. Yes. Yeah, you know, everybody got their cell phone now. And my baby daughter, she travels a good way, you know, to back and forth, to and fro to go to work. But in the back of your mind, you're always wondering if they're all right. Yes. But you get that phone call, you know, you just talk to her, you feel better, she's all right, you know. Well, my point is this: sometimes when you don't know, then you know. That don't make sense naturally, huh? But when you don't know, you still know. Yes. How you know? I know by faith that Liza is all right. Yes. I know by faith that Liza in the bosom of God. Yes. I know by faith that she died never to die again. Yes. It's not a loss. The Bible calls it a gain. I understand what gain is. I understand it. Sure, some go home a little bit early. You see? But I tell you what, when somebody get ready, you can't talk them out of going. You can't talk them out of going. Not when they're ready. Not when they're ready. Now, why this next part now? Therefore, whether we are at home, talking about home, on this earth. See, some people stuck on this earth. They live like they're never going to die. You got to live like one day you got to leave this place. God own everything. And when you come to knowledge that we own nothing, it makes a whole difference in your life. You live different. When you find out we're just stewards. We're just stewards of things in this world. The house we own, the car we drive, no matter how nice it is, one day you're going to leave the stuff. And mature Christians know that. And God is calling the church to maturity. Don't get tied down too much on this earth. My desire is, I want to take as many people or give many people the opportunity to go to heaven as I can before I leave this earth. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them how he bled and died. How many people have you told about Jesus lately? Oh, you were so tied up with your little personal affairs that you never told anyone about Jesus and how he's coming back again. I remember a great teacher told a story. He said every day his mama would tell him, you know, Jesus coming today. And then the day over, and he said, Mama, I thought you told me Jesus would come today. He said, he's coming tomorrow. And every day she did the same thing. And what was she doing? She was filling him with expectation. Always live like Jesus coming today. So I'm telling you, Jesus coming today. Yes, he's coming today. You see, no man know the day, nor the hour, that the Son of Man coming. Now, why just now? I got stuck on at home. So while we're at home or away from home with him, it is our constant ambition to be pleasing to him. While we're here on this earth, we call it home. It's our earth home, but we also have a heavenly home. We have two locations. You see, we're one person, but we have two locations. Boy, that's good news, huh? We're one person, but this is not our final resting place here. Elijah knew that. He said, "But our main ambition is to be pleasing to him." That would happen to Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. I said, "Lord, what do you mean to walk with God?" The Lord said, "To obey me in everything I do, everything I say do, put me first in everything, recognize that you can't do nothing without me, and always be willing to worship me and honor me as God." The Bible says he walked with God and was not. God was so satisfied with him, God just took him. The Bible says God took him. He was and he was not. He was here one minute. Can you imagine? That's the way the rapture you're going to be. You're going to be here 1 minute, and then next minute you're going to be out of here. I just don't want to be one looking at the people go. I don't want to be down here and see these people. Where in the world are they going? I don't want to have to say that. No, I want to be going up looking down. Say, wonder what they're doing down there. Lord, I hope they get some kind of lift. Some kind of draft to pull them up here. Jesus loves sinners. But he loved them enough to tell them about his resurrection. You see, no, the rapture coming. He's coming today. What I said? Jesus is coming today. Yep. Yep. Now, I got to get to the last verse before I close. Now, this is the 10th verse in the Amplified Bible. I thought it was good for me to share with you all because it covers everything to please God. I want to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. You see, Liza passed her test. You see, we still got to take the test. Look what it says in it. For we believers, oh my, will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. My goodness. We believers going to be called to account. But at the judgment seat of Christ. What do you mean called to account? I'm talking about God going to want some question answered. God going to want to know, did you do what I instructed you to do? Did you go where I told you to go? Did you say what I told you to say? Now watch. Let me read it. Because all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every last one of us. Going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Those that are saved and those that are unsaved. Everybody going to call me before the judgment seat. I'm not saying this for condemnation. So that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body. In his body. God put me in this body to do something. God didn't put me in the body just to put a suit on and to have a family, have a job, and to be somebody in the world. No, God put me in this earth as a Christian to do something. You see, I'm not called a priest. I didn't say that. But God gave every person that's a Christian an assignment. God told you to do something. Whether you acknowledge it or not. That dream you had wasn't by accident. That person that walked to you and told you, God won't use you, wasn't by accident. No, God trying to get you into his purpose. Because God does everything purposeful. God created everything for a purpose. Everything for a purpose. I ain't figured out the roach yet, but everything for a purpose. But for a purpose. Now, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, our service here on earth, whether good or bad, that is, listen to this, each will be held responsible for his action. Wow. God said each of us going to be held responsible for our actions. For our actions, listen to this, for our purposes, for our goals, for our motives, the use and misuse of our time. Wow, I said, good Lord Jesus. God going to want to know all those things. You misuse your time, God says. You were doing this when you should have been doing that. Some people say, I ain't got time to pray. I ain't got time to read my Bible. God said, no excuse. That's a misuse of your time. You make time to pray. You take time to read your Bible. God said, that's not an excuse. Just a misuse of your time. That means you're not putting me first. That means you got me on the list, like Apostle said. You got me on the list with all your other stuff. Well, I gotta wash, I gotta press, I gotta take care of my children, and Lord, I got all these things. Lord, take me off your list. The Lord said, I am the list. Can you see what I'm saying? Make use of your time and your purposes. You see it? You see it? God always have a plan for the children. And he said, we're going to be repaid for all our works. God going to reward us for the good we do. The Bible talks about crowns in heaven. And when you receive a crown from the Lord Jesus, it's an honor. I'm almost done. This scripture almost through. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, for his purposes. Some people got wrong purpose. For goals, some people set wrong goals. They set more goals for this world than they have for the world to come. And for motives, he said motives. All your motives got to be right. You see, look, this takes Christianity to another level, you see. This is more than just going to church and paying your dues. God said, I have use for you. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And it goes beyond your own personal life. It goes beyond it. And not only your motives. I like this part here. The misuse of your time and misuse of your opportunities. Some people misuse opportunities. Some people don't recognize opportunities. You see? God will put you next to someone and you talk about everything about Jesus except about Jesus. I mean, you don't even have Jesus nowhere on your mind. And God said, I put you there for that reason. I remember I was driving my vehicle behind a car. And I knew the guy. He was an older guy. And he had a big black Pontiac. I can't remember what kind of car it was. And then the car looked like it transformed. Not like those transforming. Like it transformed into a hearse. Like I had a ride behind a hearse. And the Spirit of the Lord said, he's living dead. He said, go and tell him about Jesus. Glory. And I didn't get a chance. The next week he died. I said, oh God, I missed my opportunity. Oh, yeah. Yes, I missed my opportunity. So if y'all be honest, you all missed opportunity. Yeah. And I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me. Yeah. I said, it looked like his blood on me. Because I didn't tell him about the man died the next week. But I hope God had a label somewhere else that put across his path. I don't want nobody to die without Jesus. So that's missed opportunities. And here's the last one. And misuse of your abilities. Some people don't know why God gave them special gifts and talents. Being able to sing. Being able to be a good speaker, to be able to be qualified in so many areas. I mean, skilled worker. Sometimes God gave it that for his glory. That's right. And then we go and take the credit for it. That we made ourselves some great person. That we made ourselves some great singer. That we made ourselves some great this or great that. And then God said, but I made it for my purpose. And you use it for something else. But I want you to know this. Liza knew God's purpose. And I'm closing. Liza knew that one day, this day would come. Liza knew that her family was going to be well taken care of. And Liza knew that something she said, some legacy being left by her, going to be some type of greater witness than she ever been able ever to give us. See, some of you wouldn't be here today unless Liza went home. Some of you wouldn't been able to hear what I'm saying today unless I had this opportunity to be able to present the Word of God in this fashion. So, family, I want you to know, on behalf of Apostle Thompson, who really desired to be here, but he had other previous engagement that is less understood, and I know that's a sign of maturity, but she know. You all know that her time was well spent on this earth. And I want to pray that God will give you strength in the days to come to be able to handle whatever fear, whatever thought that try to come. And you take those thoughts and transform those thoughts to truth. How you do it? You take those thoughts and you mix it with the word and see what comes out of it. When you feel like you're weak, God said, no, I made you strong. When you feel like you're by yourself, he said, no, God said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. I guess my final word for this day or for this moment is, it's not over. It's just beginning. Amen. Amen. So, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you so much for your children, for your people you've sent here, for Liza's children and grandchildren, her sisters, brothers, siblings, whoever, all the relative to this family, Lord. I bless them. I bless them on behalf of you, Lord, in behalf of my apostle, that I'm in his stead today. And Lord, I encourage them in you, through your word, that what you expected out of them, and Lord, and I believe they heard me, and I thank you for the good spirit you put in this place, Lord. Lord, I didn't sense any contrary spirit, but only love and peace. And Lord, and they're going to find their joy, Lord, their place of joy. They're going to find it in you. Them that are not born again, Lord, I believe they're going to get born again. Them that are all saved, Lord, I believe they're going to recognize their purpose and pursue after it. Now, Father, I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let the church say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, at this moment, I'd like to acknowledge on behalf of Pastor Thompson all our ministers and pastors that are here today. We want to acknowledge you and want to thank you on behalf of the family. So anyone here that's pastor or minister, I'd like you to stand. Just want to acknowledge you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All over the place. We want to thank you for coming and on behalf of Apostle Leroy Thompson and York family want to say thank you, and they appreciate your presence with us. Thank you so much. Amen. So at this moment, we ask that the funeral director will begin to make his way. Our next stop is going to be cemetery, and I want you to remember that when we get there, that we're not depositing Liza into that grave. I told you the story about my mother. We're just depositing the house, the tent that she lived in, because she was not. She's with the Lord. And I want to congratulate the family the way you handled yourself today. You handle it in the place of knowing